You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Final Cast with your hosts, Matt.
Brad.
What's going on, buddy?
What's up? Hello, listeners. Oh, you know, how are you guys doing? I don't even know why I asked that, because they can't reply back. So it's kind of stupid.
No, they can't reply back. And if you think about it, we're kind of asking the future people how they're doing. So, yeah. You know. Just a little weird, but hey, it is what
it is. A little weird. That is a little weird.
Yeah. Huh. So, you know what sucks this week? Ohio's weather.
Yeah, and the river's going to be flooded before we even get to go fishing.
Yep. Yeah, we're probably going to end up just going to like Xenia SV area. Yeah. Yeah, that's what's going to be, and it'll be at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock at night, and it'll be poo-poo grass. So.
No, Chris Yalk fishes there at night. And he says it's fun fishing there at night. So, yeah, I've never been there in the evening time. I always go early in the morning.
I think the latest I've ever been there was like maybe four.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was that late. I think it was, yeah, no, maybe it was four. But I was bank fishing, so.
Bring your frog rod.
I planned on it. I was going to bring a frog. I was going to bring my big swim bait, a jackhammer, just because that's what they always eat. And a wacky rig.
Speaking of, so I've recently, my Shimano Corrado DC went to crap. So I had to send it in. It got there today. They sent me an email. I have to pay for it.
Oh, are you out of warranty?
Yeah. Remember, because it was like a month out of warranty.
Oh, yeah. So how much do you have to pay? Like,
it's $40, but still.
Oh, yeah, but $40 to, because, I mean, your drag was like shot.
So yeah. So something was 40 with it.
Yeah. And it, from what you sent me, it almost looked like it was bent. So for $40, if they're replacing it, I mean, that's a $250 reel. So
yeah, I can't complain. I mean, Douglas rods, they do the same thing. Brand new rod, exactly. $50.
Which someone's having to use that again.
Yep. I was going to say that again. I broke another rod. So it is a bad time. So I got to shell all this money. Then on top of that, I'm paying. I still got to go get my wedding suit for Justin's wedding. So it's like everything's hitting me all at once, dude. Every time,
dude. It's just life. I mean, it just is. Believe me, it's when life starts going good, just be ready. Like, hey, life was going really good for me. Me and Stacy, and then out of nowhere, guess what? Her brakes, yeah, they're shot. But luckily, geez. I had an ace in my hole. Ace in the hole, not in my hole. That's weird. did all four corners with two brand new rudders. I'm a kayaker, as you know now. No, rotors in the back, total $400 flat. That's everything. Installed. That's not me buying brakes. That's him buying the brakes, installing them, and he got it done in 2.5 hours.
That's so nice.
Oh, dude, it was great. It was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, he's the plug when it comes to anything and everything automotive, because everything will be cheap. He's the guy I told you to take the old red piece of poo-poo to before you.
Yeah, the guy said that he's like a friend that you know, that he just works on him for fun or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like he, if he could get insurance for the business, it would be a business, but yeah, they won't insure him because it's next to his house, which is stupid. Like, yeah, who cares? It's insurance. Oh, well, if it's an extra 30 feet and it burns down, it's covered. But since it's 30 feet closer, it's not covered. It's dumb.
Yeah, that is dumb. But I was gonna say something and then I completely forgot. Oh, it gives me a little bit of hope because I've been doing a little bit of side work with Matt. So hopefully this weekend I get some extra cash. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we gotta hope the rain. If the rain keeps looking like it's gonna come, that'll be moot because it'll move to AstroTurf fields where we don't do anything. We just sit there.
Yeah.
So hey, that will suck.
Be all right with that.
Yeah, I mean that's true. But yeah, I mean that's how it goes though, man. Stuff just happens, and it's, you're never ready for it, and you just got to prepare. I suppose.
Yep.
But all right, so on tonight's show, or today's show, or this afternoon show, whenever you're listening at home, whether you're on the toilet, in the bathroom, or in the car, we're going to be talking about the Scholey. Now, I know everyone, oh, you just talked about the Scholey. Yeah, but that was from Drew, and while we love Drew, he's biased. So we're talking about it from Brad, because Brad owns a Scholey, has fished out of the Scholey, and got a nice little manicured list of pros and cons.
Yeah, I've been adding to this list and stuff since I got the kayak. I've been out on it, I don't know, I'm not gonna say five because I think it's been more than that, but I've been out on it quite a bit.
It's been closer to 10. Yeah, closer to 10 times at least.
Yeah, I've been out on it quite a bit, and there's some things that I love. There's some things that I don't care for, but we'll get into some of that. But yeah, I just figured we'd do like a review of the kayak from my point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important because, I mean, we'll do the same thing with for once I get my P127 and get some time in it. And before anybody says I'm biased, I'm not. Even though I'm on Team Bonafide, I'm still not biased because I'll just be honest with you. Because why not? Why would I lie? That's stupid.
I did. So, I did the same thing and got in trouble, though.
I mean, I don't think we'll find out. I mean, everyone knows me. I'll push the buttons a little bit.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So, but we'll start with, I think we should start with the cons. Go over, because this is what most people want to go into, because a lot of times when it comes to the pros of any boat, like if I was doing an SS120 or 107 video, it'd be, here are my pros. It's super stable and the seat's super comfortable and it's got plenty of room, which is what everyone, including Bonafide and their Bonafide's grandma down the road, says. So let's start with the cons. That's what people want to know about. That's what I want to know about, because I don't even really know them yet. So Brad, take it off. First con.
So I'm going to preface it by saying, like, the cons, they're like real tiny, like, features that, like, when we first saw the kayak back in December, I was like, oh, that looks sweet. That's awesome. But then after using it a few times, I'm just like, I don't like it like I thought I would.
Yeah, they're not really cons. You're just nitpicking, which is a good thing. Because if you think about it, like, if you would come out and be just say, yeah, the first con is the seat sucks. Like, you did something huge. Like, that's bad. Yeah. But when you're saying, these are cons, it's just stuff I don't really like, and it's just little stuff, you're nitpicking, which overall, to me, is a good thing.
Yeah.
But let's start with your first thing. What do you think?
Well, also, I'm going to preface it by saying this kayak, if you're looking for a good paddling kayak, this is it. This thing performs awesome. I enjoy paddling this thing. I will paddle it up and down riffles all day long just for fun, and that's what I wanted to do when we were on the river last week.
And that's what you did. And I know at one point we're going upstream, and it's not like we're going against like a rager or anything. I mean, it's pretty mild. But, you know, if you just stop paddling, it would push you the other direction slowly but surely. And I'm sitting there, and then I'm in the SS, which paddled way better than I thought it would. I thought it'd paddle like a battleship, but paddled freaking amazing. And, but I was putting a little bit of effort, and Brad's just over here, la-di-dying his way, just nice and smooth. And that boat is just cruising on the water.
I could paddle at 3.5 miles an hour effortless. Like,
yeah,
barely moving. And that's going barely upstream.
Things. And that was up, going upstream. I can only imagine if you actually really went all out going downstream, I bet you touch five.
Probably.
I bet you
got, because I'll get in between 3.5 and 4 when I'm going upstream. Mm-hmm. But, anyway, the first con that I was going to hit on is the rod locker hatch.
And, yeah, I knew you weren't a fan of that.
Yeah, that when I first saw that, I was like, that is amazing. Because I like storing my rods inside when I'm transporting. That's why I love the SS-127 so much. I saw that. I was expecting more than 2 spots for a rod. But the thing I didn't like about the hatch was that, one, the lid wouldn't open from... It don't open both ways like it does on the Bonafide, which makes it easy sliding rods in there. The two levels. You got a bottom level, and then you got an upper level. And then the upper level, like, holds the butt into your rods. So you kind of got – and then the bottom level kind of has where you put the rod into the hole. It's kind of hard to put the rods in there, and it kind of makes you feel uneasy about putting them in there because you got to bend the rods so much.
Yeah, and I remember when you got it, we went down, we met over at the deep spot where the rowers of death were that. And first got it, first time I saw it, and you're like, hey, put this rod in here.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay. And you're like, yeah, it just feels like I'm breaking. I was like, dude, you're probably just doing it wrong. It's fine. And I literally put it in. I was like, this is weird.
It's a little tight.
It feels, and you're not wrong, it's that top tier to me, and I haven't used it that much, but just that one experience, it just feels like you're fighting the rod locker instead of it working for you.
Yeah. Which the other thing that I don't like about it is I know people have said the same thing that owns the Sholade. Bait casters only fit in unless you have micro guide spinning rods. But if you have like a traditional spinning rod, it will not fit in there. And I'm like, I use spinning rods a lot, dude.
I think if because, you know, anyone who follows you, I don't know if you're going to talk about the hatch or not, or the internal of it. If you are, I'll shut up. If you're not, I'll just say it now. Are you going to talk about
it? Yeah, I'm going to talk about it, but say it.
All right, I'm going to say it anyway. So, obviously, you cut the Sholade was designed to where if you wanted to cut the inner hole of that hatch, to make a completely accessible hole, you can. So obviously you did because you're psycho and you just took a hacksaw to it and cut it up. But, you know, braver than most, but whatever.
I believe I'm the only person that has a Sholade that has done it.
You were that has publicly done it anyway. Yeah. I mean, John Thomas, the guy who runs Yak Gadget, was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And this dude literally cuts and makes stuff for kayaks all the time. And he's like, yeah, that's stupid. So, I mean, good for you, Brad. You did. I'm glad you didn't like cut a hole in your boat because that would have sucked. yeah. But I think if they would have, maybe if that wasn't a two-tiered, or even if the lid would be able to open the other direction, kind of like the bona fides do.
Yeah,
I think it would have made more sense. And then instead of just having those two smaller, like individual rod holes, they would have made those bigger to incorporate 3 rods per side. I think that would be awesome, because then if you're only taking 1 or 2 rods, you have rod socks on anyway, so you can put them in there. It's fine. Yep. But you can take 3 rods each side. A lot of guys who tournament fish, which people are using this boat to tournament fish, a lot of guys who do take 6+ rods. So having it able to transport 6+ rods is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. You know. But cutting out the rod locker gives me that. It gives me that option anyway. I'm sticking all my rods in there, just like I did with the Bonafide.
Yeah. Plus paddle. Plus.
Well, the paddle, I can't get the paddle in there, but I can get the life jacket and the net in there, and then I can put more stuff in it. There's room for more space.
Yeah, so I mean, you're using, I think if once more people start to do that, I think it'll
I think a lot more people will do it. Now, I'm not saying that the rod lockers weren't a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's an awesome idea.
It just needs to be expanded a little bit. Maybe I don't even want to say reworked, because it works for sure. I mean, we've seen in the release videos, and Drew on his videos, and he's talked about it. He throws them in there and throws them right out back out. You just have to, and you can get rods in there. You just got to finagle it.
Yeah. So. You got to wiggle your rod in the hole.
You got to wiggle your rod in the hole. Brian is going to kick both of us off this show. Yeah, I don't care. But yeah, I mean, and that's not even really a con. I think that's more of a doesn't fit your type of.
Yeah.
Like your fishing style and your kayaking style.
Yeah, I agree. Other thing I've seen people asking about, hey, does that void the warranty if you do that? No, it doesn't. Crescent. They end up cutting that part out of all their kayaks anyway. So they just left it in there to give the consumer the option to do so. So,
which is cool.
If you want to cut it out, cut it out. If you guys want to send me a message, if you have a Scholey and you want to cut it out, I will walk you through it. I'll step by step. I'll even FaceTime you. I don't care. I mean, it's pretty easy.
$29.99 an hour. I'm going to pimp Brad out and make money. No, I mean, what's really cool about it is, like you said, they left it in the hands of the consumer. And you could, if you didn't want to cut that whole thing out, you wouldn't have to. You can kind of create that to be your own. So if you wanted to cut just the top notch out, so I think that would make getting rods in there easier. Yeah. Cut the top notch and then leave the bottom notch in there for a battery.
Yeah, you could do that.
I think that would be doable if you wanted to cut. The opportunities are endless to do stuff in there how you want to do. Running wires, you want to keep everything waterproof, and you want to run wires to the top of your boat, do it. And then you can throw inline kits and call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Agree with that. But other than that, man, rod locker, just not a fan of it. It is what it is. But yeah. I like the sentiment. That's what I'll leave it at.
Yeah, love the idea. We'll see what the next rendition comes. And watch Drew and all them are listening to this, and they're like going back and like throwing stuff. They hate the rod locker, like freaking out. That's not the case, guys.
It's no, just he already knows. He's seen my post and stuff on Instagram and in the owners group and stuff. Which I'm not bashing the boat in the owners group or anything. I'm just sharing my experience so far.
Well, that's the only way things change. I mean, and...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maybe something is bad. I mean, by letting places know. And Crescent's great about that. They listen to their consumers, which is the whole point of why they made the Scholey and how good it is. So, So, rod locker, check. Box marked. Next.
The taco clips for the rods on behind the seats, that's a con for me. I've tried it every time I've been out. I'm just not a fan of it. The way the clip just it sits on the kayak and then trying to bungee it down. There's not much room to like pull that bungee down. I don't know. It's awkward. Like my fingers hit and I just can't bungee it very well. And then on top of that, you saw this first experience, my rod sticking out the back. I did a paddle stroke. My rods go right up against the bank.
And it's yep.
I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely that. I mean, I know one point you were backing up.
the first time you had it out with me and you were backing up into a little shallow spot. And the only reason you stopped from going face for or rear into a log with both rods hitting first was me saying rods. And you stopped real quick and paddled hard forward. So you'd stop. I think the idea is awesome, right? Cause they're getting the rods low at an angle so you can go under stuff. I love that. Like when you went, when that for before we actually made it to Main River and you went back and you caught that largemouth on the GMR, there was a bunch of overhanging stuff. You had your rods in those and you weren't getting caught up. You were going through everything. I think that if you're staying parallel with the banks, it's awesome.
Yep.
It's when you kick your rear end out or not out in, kick it in toward the bank.
Perpendicular to the bank.
Perpendicular to the bank. That's when, you know, if you want to post up against the bank and fish a ledge or something like that, you know, like we did at Dale Hollow, for example, we'd sit on the edges of the points and we'd fish those points. I think that's where you might run into problems. And then on those clips, I think it's just in a weird spot. I think that's all it is. I think that's it. I don't think the idea of it's awesome. I think it's just in a weird spot to get to.
Drew, he told me to try putting my net back there. So he puts his net in that taco clip. He says it's a lot easier pulling it out of a tube style like rod holder. Cause he keeps all his rods in front of him. So it's like, yeah, it makes sense. I need to try that. That's something I haven't done yet. So I'm going to try that. I did see somebody posted in the Crescent owners group today that they replaced the taco clips with a like 4-inch gear track. I'm like, that's a good idea. Go. And then he put rod holders on top of them. I'm like, I need to try that. That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah. That kind of is reminds me of like the Topwater and the Sportsman from Old Town, to where it's got the two rear rod holders. But remember when it had that one that was offset? So when you caught a fish, you could throw your rod in there and it's all in your workspace, which I love that aspect of that boat for that reason. It just made life. And every boat I've had since then, I add something to give me that feature back because I liked it so much. Because it sucks when you have a fish trying to figure out what to do with your rod.
Yeah.
So that would be a great idea. Even if you just had it empty just to put your rod there when you caught a fish and now it's in your workspace, you're not fighting with line or you're not worrying about the rod going over or something like that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I saw that gear track back there. I'm like, yeah, you could put so many things on that with just 4 inches of gear track. And that was just a good idea. I thought it was cool.
But yeah, that would be a dope spot for a GoPro mount, I think. Get one of those tall booms where it looks over to where you can see in front. That would be sick. That would be dope.
That would be sweet. I need to get more videos like that too.
Yeah, I have a GoPro 9, dude. I haven't turned it on in like a year. So like I need to permanently attach it to the boat with the permanent battery just to force myself to use it. Because I used it a couple times last year and I caught some fish on it and it was cool. But I don't know. I'm forgetful. So
I just don't record because I don't want to spot burn, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean
on the river at least.
Yeah, all the mate. Well, there's one place.
That's true. That one place.
Yeah, but everything else we
Finley River, Finley Reservoir.
I quit. Quit paddling Finn. I'm done.
I'm just joking, dude. But hey, look who's in the house.
Hey, I got the same hat.
Jimmy Skinner is in the house.
What's going on, dude? Mike? All the tackle I didn't have places for.
I love it. That is sweet.
It's okay.
I'm sharing everything that I hate about the Sholey in this episode.
Is it a short list or a long list?
I'm just joking. Yeah, I got a pros and cons list.
I mean, there's cons to everything.
Oh yeah, which is
I
understand that. So
I got to play with one. I haven't got to like take one out on a trip, so I don't have like cons. I'd say it's not as stable as I would want, but I fish in unlimited, and it's like stupid stable. So
yeah,
John boat.
My expectations are probably just a little too high.
Yeah,
dude, it paddles phenomenal though.
Yep, I already hit that one.
But say that was the first thing we talked about. We were going up river and I'm sitting there in an SS, like not killing myself, but working. And he's like, yeah, we're going 3.5 miles an hour. And I look over, Brad's just like,
effortless. Going. I got like this speed going right here. And it's 3.5 miles an hour.
Have you, you done any quick turnarounds in it yet?
Yeah. It's like a, I can probably turn around in a paddle, two paddles.
Yeah. One forward and one back, and I can spin a full circle.
Yep.
Like that. And I mean, that's no gear in it, but I thought that was pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't tried it. I don't know.
You did last time we went out. You didn't like, I don't think
I didn't try to do a circle.
No, you didn't try to do a circle, but you were floating backwards and you're coming up. There was a, I wouldn't even call it a strainer. It was just a log in the river. And you turn around, saw it, and you just one paddled and flipped yourself around and went around it. You don't even remember it. Yeah, you didn't even notice it because you were just fishing. But I literally looked back because I'm floating sideways fishing. I'm looking, he's floating backwards. I was like, should I say something? Now he probably knows it's there. And then he kept getting closer, and I was about to be like, log. And he just, and just flipped it. And just kept going back, and then he started fishing again. And I was like, all right, cool. I didn't have to say anything.
That thing points where you want it to point to. I like that. Because a lot of the kayaks I've been in, they do not do that, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, they definitely some of the complaints I've seen were people talking about how it, you know, it wanders as you paddle more than, like, the light tackle does. Man. But something people aren't, either they're not realizing or they're not really finishing their own statement with it. It does dance, but it always ends right back where you're going. It doesn't dance and change directions. It goes right back to center.
And I mean, a lot of people that post those videos too, that people are commenting on saying it zigzags, those videos exaggerates that. I like when I'm paddling that thing, I don't notice it doing that really. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I noticed it a little bit, but you know, at first you're like, oh, it's walking. And then I realize, well, it's continuing back to that point though. So it's not a big deal. But I thought it was sick. I really want to see yours since you cut the guts out of yours.
Yeah,
I still think like you're the only person that's had the balls to do that.
That's what he said. I was like, John Thomas, the guy who runs Yak Gadget, cuts all these stuff up and makes stuff to fit boats. And he was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Like, and Brad just does it.
Yeah, I remember Brad was asking, I don't remember if it was in the Crescent Owners group or me and you texting, and I was like, yeah, you probably just do it with a multi-tool. And then you like post a picture the next day and was like, cut out the hatch. I was like, well,
I didn't think anything about it either. I just was like, two minutes later.
He sent me a text and he's like, I did it. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it was no problem. And I was like, you're insane.
The only thing that I was worried about was cutting something that was behind the plastic. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which on that boat, I mean, there shouldn't be anything. I mean, obviously there wasn't. Like I've thought about cutting stuff like when I had the Hobie or even like my Feel Free stuff that's like pre-plumbed for rudder.
Yeah.
And I was like, bet I put a hole saw right through that, you know, and you probably can't fix that. <That'd be bad. laughs>
Yeah. That would not be a plus.
That's when I see some of these, like these ridiculous PA360 builds with 50 extra holes in them. Like, how'd you not hit anything? Because that boat's full of things that you don't want to hit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, and then they take it like inshore and surf stuff. And I was like, you guys are psycho. Like I couldn't trust myself. I cut two holes in my old RS and I was like freaked out the first time I put it on the water.
It was funny.
Like, I'm going to sink.
I was there when Matt did it. I was like, I handed him the drill. I was like, I'm letting you do it because I don't want to be responsible for it if I drill something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucked. But it worked out. So
the only hole I've ever had that like leaked that I did was the Yak Attack through hole wiring on my Frontier.
Yep.
And people had told me that those things leaked. You had to watch them. And they were right because that's the one that about sank it on Kentucky Lake. But I still use them. I just make sure I line them with silicone now instead of just relying on that rubber. Yeah. So it's kind of extra, but it works. But that's the other than that, I've drilled a bunch of holes in the Unlimited.
Like, yeah. I know people ask what size drill bit, what kind of drill bit. Don't use a spade bit. That's a bad idea. I've seen too many people just like crack it.
I have some like really, really good ones. Like the Spider brand. they are like some of the sharpest spade bits I've ever. If you spin them, they cut like a hole saw does. They don't like catch and just shred. Yeah. But like if you just go get the Stanley or whatever, Irwin, just basic wood spade bit, it's gonna peel like you hit it with a can opener.
Yeah.
I watched Brian do it. I think it was Brian. I'm pretty sure it was at Dale Hollow when he rigged his unlimited up like last year before last. He was using that and I was just like, oh no. But I mean it worked. I mean part of it you gotta know how to use the tools you're working with too.
Yeah.
I feel like most of us right here are probably a little above that. So
yeah, but anyone will tell you there's a reason they make a tool. I can make a little baby ratchet go a long way, but
yeah,
make a tool for a reason.
Yeah.
So let's just get the tool that's used for it.
I mean, and the hole saw is always going to be just cleaner.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it went right through it. I had nothing really to worry about. I mean, I've cut holes and stuff before, but I was like, I think how long did I have this boat? I had it for, I don't know, 2-3 weeks maybe. I've been out on it twice because I ordered the motor guide with it because I lucked out when no one else could get a motor guide.
You talking about your wife's kayak?
No, shut up. I'm talking about the RF. You know how much crap she's given me because of that?
Oh, literally, good.
Every time you say that, she's like, "See, everyone thinks it's your boat." I was like, "It's not. It's your boat, babe." She's like, "No, it's not. It's your second boat." I was like, "Oh God,
great. It's both. Thank you. It's both."
Yeah, well, in my defense, she told me when I was looking, you know, to ask her, do you like this? Because she picked the Outdoorsman, the Olive. It's not an Outdoorsman, but the Olive by herself.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you sure you want that? Like, don't just get it because I think it's cool. She's like, no, I love Olive Green. I was like, okay, whatever. And she was like,
yes.
I was, dude. I was so pumped. And then she was like, so if I get this boat and I don't, you know, if I'm not using it, are you able to still use it? I was like, yes, I can.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was like, yeah, I'd probably be a little bit better on the river than the P just because it's a little bit shorter. You know, it's a little lighter.
She's a little like, okay. lighter. And, it's like half the yeah, weight.
It's a lot lighter. But she was like, okay, well, yeah, we can get that one. I really like it. She got super excited. And then I took it out last Thursday and she was like, you took my boat out already? I was like, yeah. I mean, you said I could use it. She's like, yeah, I did. And I was like, oh God.
You should have at least let her use it first, you ass.
She never has time to do anything. That's not my fault. That's not my fault. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I have responsibilities, but I also don't care.
And I just blame it on me, dude. Say Brad said he's not carrying the P127. Just blame it on me.
I mean, that's a legitimate thing. People didn't used to want to carry my Pursuit with me. I totally get it.
Oh, dude, yeah. I helped carry Brad's Pursuit one time. That thing sucked. That thing was so heavy.
No, I had the battery and all that crap.
You said Brad, and I thought Herlaboss because I mean, he has an unlimited, but I can only like he carries a lot.
Dude, he has like I made that post about the low pro case, like cake the kitchen sink as like a metaphor. Yeah, I guess a metaphor. He does. Herlaboss takes everything.
Dude, when we were at Del Hollo this year, he had to work that first few days, but he was down there with us. He just had to stay at the cabin. Well, like in between meetings, he just was rigging his boat up. And that took like 2 days. Like
we went there by was so him. Much I think it was stuff. On what day was it Saturday? I think it was Saturday. Cause we went down Friday, we fixed Starport, which sucked. Which I don't know how it sucked because all the fish got released there, but whatever. And then Saturday we were fishing and we went by him and we went back with him. And I kept looking over because, like, my RS had a ton of stuff in it. And I just kept looking over and I was like, dude, how does he have so much room and yet have everything he could ever have, like, want? Like,
it's crazy. Unlimited does carry the gear. Like, there's a chance. I'm hoping it goes my way this afternoon. Buddy of mine might be buying my old motor setup and lithium battery, which I am then turning that money around. And a buddy of mine has got a live scope for sale for, like,
ooh,
stupid cheap. Like,
there you go.
Dumb cheap. And then
which live scope the Garmin?
Yeah, the LV32. Not the new 34, but that's fine in case I don't like it.
I had the 32. It was great.
Yeah. The guy I fished with yesterday had the 32 and was like, he was doing it, it was working well enough. We were actually throwing A-rigs, which nobody thinks about throwing when it's 100 degrees outside. Only thing I caught fish on yesterday. But we were throwing A-rigs, and he would like see my A-rig going by, and he'd be like, slow down, let it sink. To there, start reeling. All right, they're following you. And like, this is 100 feet awesome. In front of us. And I was like, oh, this is great.
That's cool.
But, I made this guy said he's got this graph too, but he wasn't offering it up because he shattered it. So I'm trying to get the graph. I'll pay to have Garmin fix it and then run dual screens. Be one of those bougie people.
That'd yeah, cool. Don't worry. We're going to be in the same boat because I said I didn't like I sold my Garmin, my Panoptix, because like I got too sucked into it. But I've fallen into another great deal for Panoptix. So I'm just going to get it back and say screw it and keep it this time. And just run I'm going to run a 10-inch Hummingbird Helix 10 Gen 4 and a 7-inch Garmin SV with Panoptix on it.
There you go.
Yeah. Or I'm just going to sell the Hummingbird 10 for try to get a 10-inch Garmin. I don't know. We'll find out.
I wish I could like test out somebody's dual screen before I like go dual screen, because I mean, you're not using LiveScope all the time, but I don't know if it benefits you to have LiveScope and everything else going at the same time.
Watch Shane's videos when he's doing his tournament stuff, because he's got the two Lowrances.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, dude. And I watched, that's what made me think, you know, I want to do run duels now because of watching his. Now, granted, he's got his set up like it's a special order and all that crap. We need to get Shane on, just talk about all the special stuff he did on his P. But
that would be cool.
Including almost sinking it.
Shut up. Yes, that's why I'm running a Newport on that boat, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, he runs dual screens, and you can see like he'll run down or side on one of them, and then he'll run Lowrance's live scope on the other, and he just finds structure and starts smoking fish.
That's the old, like I've said it before, I don't think I'll video game with it. It's just like yesterday we would find schools, and I think it would be cool because like my buddy Spencer was be like, yeah, there's a school right here. And he just like, yep, there they are. And like, this lake just had a bunch of the guy that owns MLF, Boyd Duckett, they came down to this little lake down here in Alabama, and they've put 85 artificial structures in, and there's like rumor they're setting it up to be a trophy lake.
Oh, you talked about that. I remember.
Yeah. So like we found them, and you can see them on the graph when you're running around, but you know, it's still kind of hard to pinpoint on them. And like Spencer would just turn his live scope on it. And like, I think he said he hit 13 casts in a row where he landed like right on top of like, not the same one hitting all of them. Just like, I was like, God, see, just knowing your bait's in the right spot. That's worth it.
Oh yeah. Especially when it comes to like, I don't know. I made a hint and I'm not going to say anything because I don't know if I'm going to do it yet, but I made a hint in a post today. And that's another big reason why I'm getting Panoptix back. I'm going to try. I want the edge. I just want
that. Oh, I was like, okay, I saw his post. What did his post say? Yeah. Which one?
I'm gonna be talking to you. Like, okay. If you look at my latest post and you just look at the comment, like Dan picked up on it immediately and he messaged me. He's like, so you're thinking, yeah, you just read it and you'll be like, oh, cool. So it's October 1st is what I'm thinking about. So just go.
Yeah, it's the only one left.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. Yeah. You see, you already know what I'm talking about. So yeah, I'm gonna be hitting you and Dan
dude,
up just to.
Oh, come on, dude. We'll get brain. A house or something. Because yeah, I'm gonna fish it because that's the one last year that
are you gonna fish it, fish it well. Or just fish it?
No, I'm gonna fish
like,
it.
Are you gonna get a tournament or
oh yeah,
just fun fishing?
Okay. Oh no, that'll be my last hoorah of the year.
That's pretty much it's gonna be my only hoorah of the year because I've been doing softball tournaments for the last 2 months and I haven't got a chance to do one. So it's great.
Maybe all right, so this is the same house. Yeah, we got way off. Sorry.
This is about the Sholey. So, Brad, do you remember where you were at? Because Jimmy came in and ruined everything.
Oh, we just got done finishing about the taco clips.
Okay. So, final thoughts on taco clips.
Meh.
I'll give that a solid meh, too.
Meh.
Meh for holding rods or meh, period?
For holding rods.
Yeah, they were... I don't know if I was like shallow water fishing, like it probably wouldn't bother me because if it falls out, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't as secure, which at the same time for like what Drew said, like the holster, you know, to quick get it. That kind of makes sense too. It's kind of by design.
Yeah. But it, I mean,
holds a net really good.
Yeah, that's what Drew said. We hit that already. But it's nothing that I can't do with the Yak Gadget Rod Stagers. You know what I mean?
Oh, those are the most superior
thing
on the market. I talk to people all the time that are in like early stages of getting into kayak fishing, you know, still with their like Pelicans, and that's a product they have. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's everybody loves it.
Yep. Dude, I sold that's a lifetime product. Angler to somebody the other day, and he bought two tracks, and he was like, yeah, I already ordered these. Do you know what these are? And he showed me Rod Stagers. Like, yeah, dude, I've got two sets on both my boats. Yes, I know what they are. Yeah.
They're awesome.
Well, I'm gonna let y'all finish up. I'm gonna go get to my show. I just wanted to pop in. I was just gonna do one of my funny faces I do in the background and leave, but I saw it was talking about the Sholi, and I was like, oh no, I'll hang out for a minute.
All right, dude.
We'll see you soon.
Peace.
So that's right. It on the rod holder, holster, whatever you want to call them. But
taco clips.
Taco clips.
So I agree with your sentiment. I think they have possible uses. Just for your way of fishing, just from watching you. I don't think it works for you. But anyway, next.
I got three more cons. So we can go through these real quick. We don't have to, like, you know, get all crazy. Plastic gear track. I know I'm getting picky here, but I love aluminum gear track. It's just more sturdier.
And mm-hmm.
just looks better.
It's a little bit more minimalistic.
Yeah. And, a lot of people know Ryan Van Tine out there. I don't know if he listens to our show or not, but big kayak angler. He's always talking in KBN and stuff like that. He painted his gear track. He has the Nor'easter color, the bluish grayish color Sholi. He painted them all red and it looks sick.
Yes, I saw that, dude. It looks so slick. Like, it looks like it came from factory. Like, it's supposed to do that. It looks dope.
Yep, which I kind of want to do that. Get it probably wouldn't look good on mine, but I just get some black aluminum gear track and replace it on mine. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I about to say I know I'm gonna add some gear track, and I bought some plastic ones, the Mighty Tracks, and I was like, that was stupid.
Why Mighty Tracks different. Those are good. I like those.
Yeah, I do too, but they look, I don't know, they're just bulky. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. So. So there was two gear tracks, plastic gear tracks, and what else did you just say?
A couple more here. I got the foot pegs. Again, nothing too big, but I kind of wish they were angled instead of just sitting flat. It kind of makes it feel awkward when you're sitting there. Bonafide does it right. Their foot pegs are the best foot pegs in any kayak. I like that the track is aluminum. I like the padded part of it, the sturdiness of the plastic. It's just and I'm thinking about buying some of those and putting them on the Sholi, like rigging it up somehow.
Yeah, I'm sure even it could work.
Even if it does mean I have to drill through the aluminum to screw them into the spot that's already screwed in on the kayak. But
yeah, I mean that's super simple. Just take a drill bit and call it a day. I mean, we can knock that out pretty quick. I know one con you want to talk about, which I think it's a pretty big con. It's not a con, just the way it's that, like, your experience with it is the fish finder hole.
Oh yeah. So I got my fish finder mounted. I got a Mighty mount. I put it right there where the cell phone holder is. I put it as far as down as you could go. And then I got the Yak Gadget fish finder mounts. So I have my fish finder down all the way.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Into the recess cubby hole for it, and then I have it angled up so I can see it. The top, like, my fish finder is what, a 7-inch screen? It's your fish finder.
It's a Garmin 73 SV.
Yeah, so it kind of hinders the functions for the molded in rod holders. So I can't put my rods in the V's that are on the hatch lid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead, it sits on top of the screen and, like, sticks up in the air about, like, 5 inches, which it annoys me, but I really love those molded in rod holders. I'm thinking about taking the fish finder off because of it. Just you don't really need a fish finder on the river anyway, so it's whatever.
No, I know from talking to you, you were thinking about just getting a little 4-incher, calling it a day, because you just, I mean, you mostly just use it for depth and water temp, because you're with me. Like, if we go on a big water, you're with me, and I have a 10-inch and I have side imaging all day long, so I mean, I can tell you where crap's at.
Yeah.
You mostly just use it for depth and water temp, and yep, you call it a day. So
yeah, because when you're that shallow in the river, like if you're in a 6 feet of water, you're only casting a 2-foot cone underneath you. You're gonna scare fish if you're mm-hmm. right on top of them in that shallow water. You're not gonna mark yep. fish in 6 feet of water. It's impossible. Yeah.
No, and if you do, you'll even if you mark them, they're gonna be gone before you're dropping down into them anyway in that shallow water.
Yeah,
it's more or less like, just even when I have a big 10-inch on the river, it's just like it's depth and water temp. Like yep. sometimes if I find some deep, like if I'm going from 6 foot and I see it drops down to 14 foot for 20 feet, I'll paddle past it real quiet and then I'll cast back into the hole. But yep. I mean, that's about it. It's not, I'm not using side imaging because it's too shallow. I'm not getting a wide enough cone. And I mean, you know, just how it is. I think they have a great, maybe not necessarily avenue, I think it's like John has a great opportunity to make a mount just for the Scholey for that cubby, like to put it as low as possible or to use the whole cubby to where you can like drill through it on the back end of it and actually yeah. mount something there to where it's, instead of having like a fish finder, like a bracket that comes out, it's a, yeah. it's almost like a flat screen TV mount.
Ooh, yeah.
You could That's get one of those little small flat screen TV mounts and do that. That would be, like, we could probably make that work.
That would probably actually help it if I could just recess it into the hole a little bit more.
I wonder. We could do that. We yeah. could do that.
I've seen like other guys putting gear track down the angles of the cubby and then mounting their fish finder there. But then again, it sticks out too far. You know what I mean? And then hinders.
Yeah, it's not that flush look, I think. But I we'll talk. I'm going to get a pen and paper. I'm going to draw some stuff up because that you could do that.
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll talk about that. Okay. All right. So there's the cons. Let's talk about all the things you like in the last. Let's finish it up with the good things about the boat. Cause you have typically, you usually have nothing but good things to say about the boat. So yeah. let's hear it.
Which we've already talked about it a couple times, paddles and performs amazing. So if you're looking for a great paddling kayak for the river, you might want to give this one a look, because this kayak reminds me a lot of the Old Town Predator MX that I had. And that also was a great river kayak.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have, like, there's similarity. I see similarities in between the two, open deck and all that stuff like that.
Yep.
The Scholey has way more features, but that it is what it is. But yeah. The other thing I like about it, it's comfortable. Like, overall, the comfortability of it, the open deck, minus the foot pegs, because it's, I don't know, it's just weird. I want angled yeah. foot pegs.
yeah.
overall, comfortable. It's easy to reach behind you. I mean, the seat feels like the rear well's right behind you. And let me see. Well, I don't got an Anchor Wizard on yet, so I can't really talk about that. I'm waiting for Anchor Wizard to come out with the Scholey version soon. I messaged him and he said it should be soon, but
dope.
Yeah. I can only imagine that's going to have a comfortable feeling too, because you're not going to have to reach yeah. all the way up to do it.
Yeah. That's what sucked about when I had my Anchor Wizard on the RS, and why one of the reasons I sold the Anchor Wizard, just because I never felt like I could put it in a spot where I was like, I was always reaching up and I was off balance and I was doing this, and I felt like I was making the track move, and I was worried I was going to bust something or break something yeah. or break the Anchor Wizard. So that's going to be nice that it's like right there, like in that cup holder, to where you're not having yeah. to really move. You can do everything still in your workspace. That catchboard recess is insane.
That is one of my favorite features of the whole kayak. Cause that, I mean, the catchboard does not move from that spot at all.
Like, if you think of it from a tournament aspect, especially like when we're in tournaments, you're either me and you lose your catchboard twice, or you get a fish and you put it on the board, you have to angle it down in the boat because that fish, and then put your net on the other side of the board. So the fish, if it jumps, it's jumping in the net with you. It's just flat on the boat. That fish jumps, it's hitting the gunnel. Like, it's just going to flop back in. You can keep the fish, like, contained, which is pretty cool.
Well, I was going to say that, too. So I can't use my net on the fence side of the board because how the recess is. I mean, I can probably put it on top of the gunnel or something like that. But how I used to do it was I used to have the hoop vertical against the fence of the catch board. And that actually saved me a few times.
Yeah, I will say it saved me last year because you told me to do that, and it saved two fish jumping off my board last year, which was nice. They were both scorbel fish, so
they flop right into it. It's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it scared me the first time it flopped into it. I was like, oh no, and I remember I had my net in my hand. I almost dropped my net, and I just grabbed it, and I was like, oh, I'm still good, and I just lifted it out, and it finally calmed down enough for me to take a picture, and then I let it go, and it spined me in the hand on the way out because it was a dick. So
this kind of goes hand in hand with comfortability. Can't say that. Man.
All right, Biden.
Nice seat. Yeah. Nice seat. Very padded, comfortable, you know, lounge back in it, whatever. I dig
it. In the kayak market, if somebody's been in it, they've always heard, how do you stack that to like a tried and true seat, like a bona fide seat, like the SS seat?
You can't, dude. The bona fide seat's awesome. Even the Hobie seat's awesome. Some people hate the Hobie seat, but I love the Hobie seat. I think that thing is awesome.
Yeah, I never had an issue with the Hobie seat. I think that's super comfortable. I got my first real long experience in the SS seat last week, and I, as someone with back problems, and you know, I mean, in the RS, I would complain after being out on the RS for, you know, that float we did earlier this year. We were out in the water for, 8 hours? And, 2 or 3 hours, like, dude, my back's just starting to hurt, and I didn't even feel. I felt like I was sitting in a padded recliner.
Yeah.
So, but it's nice that the Crescent seat is comfortable. Cause that was one thing they were talking it up a lot. So I'm really happy that it's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable. I like it better than the Old Town seat. I like it better than the new canoe seat. I like it better than the Jackson seats for sure. I don't know. It's a good seat though. I like that they added the padding in the bottom. It's very comfortable.
Yeah, that goes a long way for liking a boat. I mean, that's one reason I wasn't a huge fan of my Topwater, my Old Town. It was a nice boat, but there was features I liked, but I still had to sit in the seat, and the seat was like one of the most uncomfortable things. Like, even the RS seat was more comfortable, and the RS seat's not known for comfortability. Like, it was a comfortable seat, but over time, you know, you wear it out. That Old Town, we'd go on a 2-hour float after work, and I'd be like shifting and having to stand up nonstop, and I'd sit like all the way back, like it was just trying to find a comfortable seat. So that's a plus. The little things go a long way for someone to like the boat. Like, if they get in, it's uncomfortable, it could come with a fish finder. They're not gonna like it because it's uncomfortable sitting.
Another pro we have is the molded in rod stagers, which we kind of hit that a little bit. When I'm fishing the river, I like to have two rods in front of me. Usually it's a finesse and then a power. And if I'm power fishing, like I'm throwing top water or something, and I get a miss, I set that rod down and I fire in the Ned rig or something like that quick. So that the rod stager makes it nice and easy. The V notches where the rods sit make it all flush and makes it all flush and clean and everything. So I really dig that
fits my style.
I've praised this one quite a bit too, the cam strap drag strap feature.
That was awesome. Seeing that in this last Thursday when I'm dragging a boat and you're just either tying it to your waist or grabbing the cam strap and just walking it, it made the world of difference because I'm running through riffles and stuff, slipping everywhere, and you're not worrying about your boat, you're just walking.
Yeah, you were hunched over holding the handle on yours. I was just, you know, walking upright, just holding onto the strap.
Yeah.
And then when you're done with it, adjust it back and
you just zip it up and you're done. Like there's companies like Rogue, for instance. I have a Rogue drag strap. I don't know where it is, but I have one. And those are cool. But the bad thing with that is once you're done with it, you have two options. You can either take it off or flip it back on top of your boat. Like with the SS, it's just going to sit on the top. So
a crankbait for it. So I can already see it just getting stuck in it and you're having to fight that and stuff. But with yours, it's just zipping it up and you're done. Like it's out of the way. It stays contained, which is just awesome.
Yeah, you just tuck in the extra strap into the hatch lid and you're good to go.
Yep. So yeah, that's dope.
And speaking of cam straps, they got I really like the cam straps in the rear well. And I've used it a few times, especially when I've been to the lake. I'll strap in my crate. I drive all the way to the lake and back with it strapped in. And I love that. I don't like bungees back there. I love the cam strap.
Yeah, that's one thing I wish that the after seeing it, like I never thought I wanted it. But after seeing it, like the P127's got the clips in the back to where you can clip it. And it's held the yak. I mean, I drive it everywhere and it's held it in. But the extra security of that cam strap, because you can really tighten that thing all the way down and make it tighter and all get out. And it's not going to move. Like the boat will have to flip for the box to come out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's a dope feature.
Even then, if you flip it, I don't think that box is coming out anyway.
No. I mean, it'd have to hit something hard, and it would probably break the boat before the box would come out. So, that's an awesome feature. I actually thought about trying to adapt that somehow on the rear tracks for the Bonafide. I don't know how I would do it, but figure it out.
I'm sure, we could figure it out. Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm not worried about it. But
I know. So this next one, I know kayaking is a wet sport, but a lot of people, I see people complaining about it with other brands like Native and stuff. The Scholly is a pretty dry ride. Like you're not getting much water into the deck of the boat through the scuppers or anything. Again, I'm carrying only two tackle boxes and three or four rods. So maybe the weight has something to do with it, but so far it's been a pretty dry ride for me and I really like that.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's a change of pace, definitely, because I can imagine, like, in your inflatable, I mean, it's relatively dry because it's an inflatable and there's no scupper holes.
Well,
but
that thing got pretty wet, though, when you went through riffles, because the whole nose would just go under.
Yeah, that I can definitely see that. But it's, you know, while, yes, kayaking is a wet sport, at the same time, if you can stay dry, especially in lake situations, if you can stay dry, it just makes you're more comfortable throughout the day. Now there are some times that I was really happy with the RS because it would get a lot of water in just because I had so much weight in the front that I would just take my shoes off and just put my feet in the water and pitter patter. Oh dude, it like cooled my whole body down. So it's a plus, but you know, sometimes I don't want that to happen.
It's funny you mention that because I usually hang my legs off the side in the summertime like that. I did it just the other day when I was out there on the river.
Yep.
Felt great.
So, oh, it makes a world of difference. It's the little things that make everything better.
So. let's see. I got three more real quick. The paddle park, which self-explanatory, where you got the two roto grips on both sides. I really like that. Somebody asked me how much room you have there. Actually, a few people asked me that. Somebody else asked me if I trip over it. No, you're not walking all over the deck. So the way it's set up is the paddle sits just in front of my feet, but behind the catchboard. So I'm standing up, no issues. And then if I need to sit down, grab the paddle real quick, it's nice and easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That paddle park, as simple as it is. Yeah. It's ingenious because it's an easy place to put your paddle if you're not under power,
which is, it's funny because I mentioned having the Predator MX earlier. I did the same thing. I put gear track on both sides and a rotor grip on both sides. So
yeah,
it's almost similar. Like it's crazy how similar those two kayaks are from what I had.
It's like you designed this boat without knowing.
Yeah. Well, I actually got that I got that hack from Drew Gregory back in the day. Cause he used to do that on his Jackson Coosa.
Yep. So, I mean, Drew's been making this boat since like the mid 2000s without even knowing he was making it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a love child. But
the last two pros that I have kind of go hand in hand. So I got the Rod Saver on the hatched lid and then the open deck from front to back. So underneath the seat, there's probably a space that's probably like 12 inches.
Okay.
So it's open from front all the way to back. So when I'm traveling, I will put the butt of my rods you know, under the seat, and then I'll strap it down in the rod saver in the front, and I just go. I put my paddle there. I put my net there. So when I get to the lake, I just pull it all out real quick, assemble it, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a dope. And that rod saver feature, like, that's sick. I'm actually going to order some rod saver and put it on the deck lid of the SS.
That's a good idea.
You can kind of do the same thing. I mean, obviously it's not open, but I can fit my rods underneath the seat and do the same concept, which makes you get to the boat, you can wet launch and all your stuff's in the boat. So you go park and there's no going back and forth and getting crap. It's like, okay, I have my three or four rods here. They're in a rod saver. They're stuck back there. Wet launch, put the boat off to the side, go park, come back, and I can get everything out of the hatch, dry storage, and everything else is already in the boat. It's just setting it up and calling it a day. Like, it just makes everything clean up and or drop in and get out is much easier and more streamlined. So that feature is a genius to where I'm going to make it happen on the SS somehow.
You should, dude. I really like the rod saver though. That's awesome. It was great little feature. But there's my pros and cons list. I will say, I know a lot of people are complaining about the price of it, which I don't get, because it's competitively priced kayak for what you get. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're getting a kayak, and like you said, it's competitively priced with everything else on the market. Like, people are comparing. They're used to, I'm trying to think how to say this. Like, Crescent has made kayaks that have been a little bit less expensive, great boats, but less expensive to get people on the water. So this boat comes out and it's a little bit higher price than everything else they've ever made. But you have to understand, this isn't like every other boat they've ever made. This has all the best parts of every other boat they made, plus geared toward fishing, because they've never made a true fishing kayak. Like, even the light tackle, even though it has tackle in the name, it was still designed to be a great paddling kayak, low seat position. You know,
there's not much fishing features to that kayak.
Exactly. Like, there's some cool stuff about it, but they're not. It's more geared to everyone's features. Like, the hatch, it had an inside hatch, which is cool, but that was more geared to your camping or your long haulers or stuff like that. I mean, you could be used for rods, but wasn't designed for rods. And it comes to where you just came out of nowhere. It goes to where this has a lot more features that haven't ever been standard for Crescent. It has all the same features or more features than the competitively priced competitors that are there. While they might be different features, they're the same means to the end. It's a fishing kayak that's designed for stability, paddling ease, and comfort, along with all these, like you've already said, all those pros you mentioned and the extras. I don't know why people are complaining about the price, because to get the same features and actually to get the less features, because this has some stuff like the catch board, recess, rod savers, all that stuff, to get less features, you're spending the same amount or a couple hundred dollars more for a kayak.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if anything, they're right at the cusp or even cheaper, because everyone else's prices have gone up because of COVID and now inflation and everything. So,
yeah, the light tackle used to be $9.99, and I think it's $11.99 now.
I think it's $11.99 or $12.99. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Which, Mark, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that I don't know our prices.
I don't either. It's...
Yeah. Well, yeah, Brad's more important than I am, and he doesn't know, so yell at Brad, not me.
They've changed like two or three times in the last couple of years, so.
Yeah, and with everything going on, still making it, and I will say, still making a premier fishing kayak, because you can put a motor on the front just like you can anything else. You can put a motor on the rear just like you can anything else. Making a premier fishing kayak that can easily be used in tournaments and everything along those lines at the price point it's at, it's hard to beat. They've come in at a great price point on a great kayak, in my opinion. That's just me.
I agree, but I also can understand where people are coming from, because you can get pedal drives for $1,800 now, like the Lightning, or you can get an Old Town for $2,200, which is still a bunch more than $1,500, but still.
I was about to say, it's like, I can understand the Lightning a little bit, because that's only a couple $100.
Yeah.
And I say only a couple $100. A couple $100 is a couple $100. But I can understand that. But at the same time, the jump to the Old Town, I don't understand that, because people will compare Old Towns, like the Top Water and stuff, to the SS series. Well, the SS series is still cheaper than the Old Town. So, you know what I mean? Like, why would I spend extra amount? And the Old Towns don't have the same features that
the Crescent does.
Yeah.
So,
and I could probably name you, I don't know, five different kayaks that cost more than the Scholle does, and their paddle kayaks.
Yeah. I mean, all day long. I mean,
and like Drew said, you're also paying for the plastic. Like, their plastic has been scientifically tested. They got the hardest, the toughest plastic in the business right now.
Yep.
So,
yep. About to say, there's things that went into the boat, not just features, like the lid. It's not thermomoted. It's actually molded. You know, there's things they've done that should make the boat cost a lot more money, and it doesn't. So,
I agree with that.
Yep.
But yeah, there's my honest review, guys. So if you're in the market and you want a Scholle, I suggest getting one. I think it's a great kayak. But if I mention something that you don't like, message me, man. Let's talk about it. I'll even let you try it out if you're in the area. I don't care. So get your
and he's for real about that. If you're in the area, he will meet you somewhere, because we're usually – it's either Brad by himself or he's with me or with Justin. He'll meet you there. He'll let you take it out, and you can see if you like it or not.
I've done that with a so I went down to Rip Rap Road one time, and I met two old guys because they wanted to try a 127. Yeah. I brought my 127, let them paddle around out there.
Yeah, I must say, I mean, it's awesome to do that. I mean, I did it with the Old Town. And then I did it with the RS, and both the people that paddled both those boats ended up buying those boats. So, yeah.
So, yep.
Definitely cool. Well, final thoughts, anything to leave the listeners with, Brad?
Can you see my sign right here?
Cookies are good.
Cookies is good, guys.
Cookies is good.
I had cookies before we started this, so I put that on my dry erase board because cookies is good. That's my final thoughts.
Well, those are some hard final thoughts to beat, so I'm not even going to try. Guys, thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Hopefully you got some insight from it. And if you're definitely interested in one, if you're in the area, give us a holler. DM either one of us. We're talking to each other every day, so we'll let each other know. Or get to your local shop that has the Scholle. If you're in the area, Loveland Canoe and Kayak down in Cincinnati, we can get you hooked up and get you tested on one.
Sounds good. Guys, have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.